with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I am toying with the idea of a new segment called How Dumb Am I? I'm not sure.
How dumb are you? That's the response, right? Like when you do a comedy show and you ask that, you got to have the response.
Look at you, this captive audience. I love it. You're playing along already. But we do have birthdays to get to later in the show, and you know they tend to take priority. But maybe stay tuned for How Dumb Am I? The Flyers are, again, 5 straight years, no playoffs. They've been close at times the last couple of years. That honestly, Marty, that one 2 years ago when they were in the driver's seat. Oh. Dude, they maxed out at 11 games over 500 that year. They were 10 games over 500 before having the sloppy finish that featured an 8-game losing streak. And they still finished 5 games over 500. But they were sitting comfortably most of the year at 10 games over 500. And they still managed to fumble it away. So anyway, there have been players a part of that. I'm going to try to do this a little more rapid fire. Just get like your lightning responses on some
lightning of these. Lightning round. We're doing the lightning round.
So the goals were down, but the points were up. Travis Konecny had a career year. This is year 1 of 8 of his contract extension. What do you expect from him?
So what I would want to see if I'm a Flyers coach, front office fan, is Travis Konecny hitting about 85 plus points. So we're talking about a point a game. Because he was at 76 last year. So I'm like, hey, you can make the jump. Go to 85 points. Get to 30 to 35 goals. He has the skill level to do it. He has the approach to do it. But it hasn't gotten there yet. So I would want him to get at least 80 plus. But 85 plus would be what I think Travis Konecny can give the Flyers this year.
As is often the case, not as short a response as I was hoping for in this lightning round. My answer would have been Konecny.
I forgot already we were doing lightning round.
Just keep doing what he's doing. He's fine. Sean Couturier, on the other hand, also has, and again, I mean, the Flyers spend to the cap, and so when the cap goes up, it's probably not going to be a concern. But he's still got 5 years to go at 7.7. And the question is, as he turns 33 in December, are we ever, and this is not a slight at all based on everything he's gone through health-wise, are we ever going to see Couturier emerge from the 40-point range to get back to the 70-point range? Or are they just going to have to, no?
No, but we did see him play almost every game last year, which is a bonus. 79 games, I think he played out of 82. That's a bonus for the Flyers and Sean Couturier. Now, could he get to 55? Yes, and will Rick Tocchet used Sean Couturier a little bit more in the role that we have seen Couturier in the past? Because I think Tortorella wasn't really giving him that same look. So that to me will be a question mark as well. But I like the fact that Couturier is at least back to playing almost every game.
Owen Tippett, 27 goals, 28 goals, down to 20 last year. Any concern at all?
A little bit. Because I watch Owen Tippett, and I even when he scored 27, you know, goals, 28 goals, I'm thinking, I'm left off with wanting a little bit more because I think he has the ability to be a very consistent 30 goal scorer. So I'm a little concerned that it dropped to 20 last year, where I wanted more when he was only scoring, when he was scoring 27, 28 goals.
Trevor Zegras, RFA to be at the end of this coming season. 50 points, over, under?
Over.
Really?
I do feel that with Zegras,
bullish, as we like
Konecny,
to say,
Michkov, Tippett, I feel like you've got some talent. Also, the power play was absolutely terrible last year for the Flyers, and I think Zegras will be getting some power play looks and help make him a better power play. So I'm going to say over 50 points for Trevor Zegras.
Ty Forster's on a really nice, tidy 2-year deal at 3.75. He's gone from 20 to 25. Does he go over 30 this year?
Depends if he stays healthy all season.
Okay. And he had an elbow flare up at the Worlds. Should be good, though, for opening
should
night.
Should be good, but he's got to stay healthy all season to get to that and more.
Quietly, although the expectations were big as he was making his way into the pro ranks, Bobby Brink went from 23 points to 41 last year. Does he go over 50?
ooh, I thought you were going to say, does he go over 45? And my quick answer would have been yes. But you decided to push it a little bit. You put a little, you know, Frank's Red Hot on top of, you know, the hot dog right now. So I'm like, ooh, a little spicy 50. I'm going to say he's going to get to 49-50, but he won't go over the 50. But it would be great, a great season for Bobby Brink at 49 or 50 points.
We all know it takes a team, but part of me says, do any of those names matter if Michkov goes from 63 points to 90-plus? And is that likely in your mind or possible?
It's possible, but I think, so if Michkov goes to low 60s to even 75-plus, then all of a sudden, Konechny will probably get 80-plus, and all of a sudden, Zegras is going to get 50-plus because there will be some chemistry there, special teams, or maybe even playing on the line together. Or, you know, maybe one moves over to the right side because they're both playing kind of the left. Maybe Zegras can play some center and try to see if it works. I'd like to see Michkov and Zegras together and see if there is some chemistry and some flashiness that's going to get there.
I think he gets over 80 for sure. I'm not sure about 90. Worth noting that he ended up, after all the highlight moments and, you know, wow factor that he brought, he was fourth in Calder voting last year. He was 3-for-4 in shootouts, which was fun to watch because he's got a beautiful confidence in that discipline. And he also, and this is maybe more something to look for, is his development. Does he, like, do you see him as someone who's just going to keep growing both the goals and the assists, or do you see him more of a scorer, more of a playmaker? Because he had 200 shots, which is a pretty good total.
Yeah.
And more impressively, he ended at 13% shooting percentage, which is a really nice number to build off of. Because if you work from that 13 to 16% range, you're going to be consistently among the game's best scorers.
Where do you see that going for him? I think he's more of a playmaker.
Okay.
Upside to Michkov. And maybe it's because it made its round on social media when he was asked about, you know, dumping the puck in and whatnot over the summer. And he's like, why would I dump the puck in and go chase it and try to get it back? I have the puck. Mm-hmm. Try to take it away from me. So, no, I don't want to dump and chase. I want to make plays. And so, to me, it's like that's a little bit of a look at how his brain thinks, right? To playmaker, to maybe draw so many players to him and find somebody open. So I think the playmaking ability of Matvei Michkov is the one side that I think can get even better.
True or false, the two names that matter most on Philadelphia's blue line are Cam York, who's 24, and Jamie Drysdale, who's 23.
True. And Drysdale, after some years of injuries, played 70 games last year. And we look back at the deal that brought Drysdale from Anaheim to Philly, right? In the Cutter Gauthier trade, that apparently the Flyers were Cutter Gauthier's favorite team growing up. And then it wasn't his favorite team and he wanted out. But I liked that trade, Drysdale coming over. I thought he was a really fine young, not fine young cannibals, but fine young defenseman. But I think that if healthy, we're going to see Drysdale and Cam York being the top two guys on that blue line.
I will say this. I need to see a lot more from both of them for both to live up to expectations from years ago.
The now, both of us. The both of us.
The both of them.
The both of them, yes.
But
that
maybe
would be my second boat. The boat of us one and the boat of them.
You're so rich. Your dinghy is called the boat of
with
them.
With all my golf now, I'm gonna go on the pro tour. I'm gonna be like Tommy Fleetwood. I'll win the $10 million grand prize.
Does Drysdale get a buddy bump from having Zegras there? Does his career take off because he's reunited with his bestie?
No, I think that. Obviously, they kind of grew up in the Anaheim organization together and everything, but I think Drysdale has to worry about one thing, and is his game, and how does he mature into the game? And Zegras really has to focus on himself. So I think, yeah, maybe they'll talk and they'll have a little bit of, you know, the acquaintance back and whatnot, but I don't know that the buddy bump is there really. They don't play together.
That's not true. When the Red Wings dominated, they were a five-man unit. Maybe we start seeing Tocchet employ five-man unit where Drysdale is always on the ice with Zegras.
Okay, so then you got to get five Russians because they were the Fab Five in Detroit.
Yeah, but they weren't all Russian because Dougie Brown played a lot there and they called him Brownoff, which is great.
So. When we talk about the Fab Five, it's not Dougie Brown. It's, you know.
Yeah, but he was a part of it, and I love the guy. Anyway, most surprising or most likely to surprise in the Philadelphia crease, Dan Vladar, Ivan Fedotov, Sam Ersson, or Alexei Kolosov?
Well, I think it's most likely to surprise will be Ersson, because I still think that there's a lot of good there. And he wasn't really surrounded well, even in the crease, right? Kolosov and Fedotov really did not perform to the expectations that the Flyers had for the two of them. So they bring in Dan Vladar. Now, it's interesting to me because right now, Puckpedia says that the Flyers are only $300,000 under the cap. But Ryan Ellis is long-term IR, so they'll get a $6.25 million kind of relief from that. And they'll probably get another couple of million dollars if they send Fedotov to the minors, like if he clears waivers, because he's at 3.2 right now, so they'll get some relief there.
My instinct was to say he'll never go.
Maybe he goes back to Russia, and then you get... You get a full $3 million relief from there. So the Flyers could be almost a $10 million under the cap when the season starts and the roster is finalized.
Okay, so that begs the question. Does that mean Sergei Bobrovsky will finish his career where it started?
No, Sergei Bobrovsky will finish and continue in Florida because Florida has put all their eggs in the Bobrovsky basket because they traded all the other kind of, you know, prospect that they had coming up, then Levi and Spencer Knight and all of that. So they probably feel that Bobrovsky is going to be there for more than just this last year of his contract. I remember Bobrovsky, actually him and Ilya Brizgalov being the tandem in Philly. Mm-hmm. And when we played them in the Winter Classic in Philadelphia with the Rangers in 2012, that led to the infamous Brizgalov says, I have good news and good news about tomorrow. The good news is I'm not going to play tomorrow, so we have a chance to win. And the other good news is I will have hot chocolate in my thermos on the bench to keep warm. What, like, come on, Briz. But it was Bobrovsky that played in that game, which we won. That was awesome. Mike Rupp with the double Jager salute when he scored two goals in that game.
Did you play?
I played soccer before the game. I played mini sticks with Jacob on the ice the day before.
You're ridiculous.
I had a lot of fun, but no, I did not play in the game.
Rick Tocchet, how big of an impact will he have in this long, as mentioned off the top, long list of coaches they've gone through here in the last 13 years?
It's funny because most NHL teams, usually when they go to a certain coach like a John Tortorella, they like to go to the opposite type of spectrum, the next coach. Mm-hmm. They did not do that. They, you know, Rick Tocchet to me seems like a hard coach that demands a lot physically, mentally of the players, a lot of structure in his game. Like we've seen Rick Tocchet on TNT when he wasn't hired and the whiteboard in front of him explaining the X's and O's of the game. I think there's a lot of that, and I think this is a continuation of a little bit of the Tortorella plan that ended a little prematurely with his firing this year. I'm looking at it saying Tocchet is going to be a big impact in a different way, but still having that hard coach to play for behind the bench.
Favorite memory as a Flyer?
Well, 08 playoffs, game 7 against Washington in overtime, beating the Caps in the first round, and winning in 5 games against Montreal in Montreal against Carey Price. My parents were in Quebec City, which is 3 hours away, but the Montreal Canadiens have now taken over the province of Quebec. It used to be half and half, half Montreal, half Nordiques. And my dad would be going to work the week of the series, and he'd have his Flyers flag on his car, and everybody going to work would have Canadians flags on their cars. And then he would be going to Montreal with his Flyers flags on his car. And the fact that we lost game one there, and my dad after the game goes, "You guys have them exactly where you want them. You're much better than them. You didn't play your best. You're going to be better." And you guys, and then we tackled four in a row after that, leading to game five win in Montreal. That was probably one of my best memory in Flyers. And my daughter Emily was born in the Washington series. I almost killed myself in my car rushing to a game because of traffic. But I made it in time. So yeah, there was a lot going on, but that 08 playoffs was fun.
I'm glad I asked the question. It's always nice to celebrate those wins along the way, and those were memorable for sure. Birthdays when we come back on Sabres Live.